Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Good morning, Heavenly Father. Welcome, Holy Spirit, to rule and reign another awesome Thursday morning where the word of the Lord comes alive. And we just stop by to say thank you. Thank you for grace and mercy, how you kept us all last night, how you woke us up this morning, clothing our right mind, reminding of who we are and who we belong to. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's our bright and morning star in a dark situation, and we say thank you. Oh, come bless the Lord with me today. He's worthy to be praised. We come to say thank you, Father God, for waking us up. Thank you, Father God, for eyes to see. Thank you, Father God, for ears to hear. Thank you, Father God, that we have legs to walk. Some don't even have is blessed to walk today. So we just come and say thank you. We're able to do it. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. We come to bless your name today for breakthroughs, Lord God, and not a breakdown. We come to say thank you, Lord God, that we are better and not bitter. We come to thank you that we are the victors and no longer the victims. We just come to bless your name today, Lord God. We come to lift up all the sick and the shut in all over the land today, Father God. We thank you that you're still making house calls on today, Lord God. You're healing, delivering, setting free today, Lord God, in the mind, body, soul, and the spirit today, Lord God. We say thank you. Oh, we come to bless your name, Father God, for the visionary of this line, Lord God. We come to say thank you, Father God, as he continues to pour out to your people. You're pouring back into him double, double, double for his trouble in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we come to bless your name today. We come to lift up Mother Sydney and her entire family today, Lord God. We thank you for doing a new thing in them, through them, for them, and around them, Lord God. We thank you for healing manifestation in the family right now, Father God. We come to bless your name today, Lord God, because, Father God, without you, we are nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. With you, we can do all things through Christ that strengthen us. So we thank you for strength today. We thank you for your peace today. We thank you for your joy today, because we are that tree planted by the river of the water. We shall not be moved in the mighty name of Jesus. I lift up Sister Carolyn's brother to you today, Lord God. I ask you continuously heal and deliver him in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for a fresh fire anointing saturating his vessel today, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just say thank you, Father. We plead the blood over every nursing home, every hospital today, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We plead the blood over the homeless today in every city and every state. We thank you that you open up doors for the homeless that can't no man close. You closing doors that can't no man open for the homeless in the mighty name of Jesus. We lift up all our children to you today, Lord God, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, in the mighty name of Jesus. We lift our neighbor children up to you today, Father God. Do a new thing in them, through them, and for them, and around them, in the mighty name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over all the schools today, Lord God. Father God, we ask you to cover the children, keep them safe, Father God. Some schools is out for spring break, Lord God. Keep them safe from all harm and danger, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we come to bless your name today. We come to plead the blood over this mind today, to drive out every spirit that's not of the Holy Spirit, and welcome the Holy Spirit to rule and rain. I lift up Sister Carolyn to you today, Father God. Continue to pour your strength in her, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for her healing manifestation right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. I lift up Mom and Dad Matthews to you today, Father God. Continue to keep your arms around them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Keep them from seen and unseen danger, seen and unseen sickness, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I lift up Mother Allen to you today, Lord God. Continue to keep your arms around her, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we come to bless your name today, Lord God. We come to thank you for your many promises, Lord God, that no weapon formed against your people shall prosper. Every tongue rise up shall be condemned. We say thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are more than conquerors. We say thank you, Father God. Oh, we come to bless your name today, Lord God. We come to magnify your name today, the name above all names, name above all manner of sickness and diseases today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You went through Galilee healing all manner of sickness and diseases. So we thank you for stopping by Chicago, healing in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for stopping by Wisconsin today, Lord God. We thank you for stopping by in Michigan today, Lord God, healing and delivering your children, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you that you're holding up baby Michael, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Oh, we just come to bless your name because we know you as a healer. I know you as Dr. Jesus. I know you as the great physician, in the mighty name of Jesus. When I look back over my own life, I could truly say that I am blessed, that I am a walking testimony. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let's testify today how good God is. He's good. Hallelujah. He's better than camel soup. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. What can wash away sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. It's all power in the blood of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we come to bless his name today. We come to magnify his name today. We come to lift him up today. He said, if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. So we come to lift him up today. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we come to plead the blood, the healing blood over the president today, Lord God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God over the White House today, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for your blood that's covering and keeping them in perfect peace, Lord God. Place the right people in their path, Lord God. Order the president's footsteps, Lord God. Lead and direct him in all truth on today, Lord God. Can't nobody do it like you. Nobody do it but you. And hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, we just come to bless your name today. You the potter, we your clay. Continue to mold us, Lord God. Continue to mold us. Hallelujah, Lord God. And we thank you for the molding today. We thank you for the strength you're pouring in us today. We thank you, Lord God, that we can continue to look to the hills where cometh our help. Our help comes from you. And we just come to bless your name today because this is the day the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I say thank you. Thank you for Rita today that faithfully works behind the scenes, Father God. Continue to bless her and her entire family, Lord God, from the oldest to the youngest, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we just come to bless your name today. We just come to say thank you for being our Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for holding us up. Thank you that you have a whole wide world in your hand, even the itty-bitty babies in your hand. And we just say thank you today, Father God. Thank you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you that you took 39 stripes on your vessel for each and every one of us so we can live and have our being in you. We say thank you that Jesus is the Lord of our life today. Jesus, and sickness and disease have no power over us. According to Luke 10 and 19, you've given us power to tread over serpents, scorpions, the power of our enemy. By no means should nothing harm us. And we thank you for being a promise keeper. Oh, we come to bless your name today. We come to magnify your name today. We come to say thank you, Lord. We love you. We need you. We can't do nothing without you. In your precious Son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Have your way on this line today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Thursday Morning Open Forum with Prophet LaRon Matthews and co-host Evangelist Thelma Sidney. Together, by the grace of God, they have been given the opportunity to be a beacon of light to hurting people across the world that have questions they can ask during the forum that they feel uncomfortable asking anywhere else. So welcome, beloved, and we welcome your questions and comments. Hit star 6 now. God bless you.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Mother Sydney.
Good morning, Mother Gwen. We thank and praise God for each one of you, amen, on the Blog Talk Radio, on the conference line, Administrator Brian, Dr. Will, Dr. Matthews, glory to God. We honor each one of you on this day in your respect. Effective places wherever you may be at. We honor the Lord most, amen, because today is the best day of the rest of your life. Amen, Lord God. This is Thursday morning. Open form, open form. This is Thursday morning. Bible say this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We gonna rejoice and be glad in it. Because it's a good day, hallelujah. It's the day that God has made. Amen. Glory to God. Everything God made is good and was good and is good and will be good. Amen. We just bless the Lord for you on this morning. Amen. Glory to God. We esteem glory to God. You in the highest. We esteem God in the highest. Amen. Glory to God. I said, give honor where honor is due. Amen. And Mother Sydney, just honor you, you and you. Whatever status in life where you're at, amen. Hallelujah. Because you're good. You're good. You're good because God say that you're good. Amen. And we just say, welcome, welcome, welcome to the conference line. Amen. Welcome to Open Forum on this morning. I tell you, you might hear some little snowing in the background. That's my great-grandbaby. Hallelujah. I'm like, she's 6 years old and snowing like that. But nevertheless, amen, God is here, and he is moving by his spirit. If you have a question, a comment, a praise report, oh, Father God, on the conference line, just star 6, amen, and just come right on in. And on Blog Talk Radio, you know what to do. Just press when you're down. Administrator Brian will bring you right on in. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're together again. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Matthews. We are together.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Prophet.
Hallelujah. Happy morning, woman of God.
Amen, amen. You know, glory to God. I'm finna sing my song, hallelujah. And I said, we're together again. Amen. I'm not gonna sing it. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. Last time I sung this song, God, I tell you, God did something miraculous. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. Something good is about to happen.
Yes, it is.
Something good is in store because what? We're together again. The saints are in the house, amen, praising the Lord because when we all on one accord, hallelujah, just praising the Lord, something got to happen. Acts 2 demonstrates that. Acts 2 and 1 demonstrated for us when they was all on one accord, something happened. It suddenly happened. They was on one accord in the upper room, glory to God. And we come on one accord on this line. Hi, Yabotaya. Something good is about to happen. Something good is in store because we are together again. Princes, kings, amen, of the Most High God. That's who we are. We're together again doing what we know to do. What? Lifting up the name of Jesus, praising the name of Jesus, glory to God, on this great day, the day that he has made. Hallelujah. He has made, amen. Because when he has made us, amen, he has made your future, amen. He already know your ending before your beginning. So guess what? Before you was born, amen, it was already predestinated that you would be right here. Amen. Glory to God. So when it seems strange and you don't know, amen, where you're going or where you should be, you at the right place at the right time. Okay. Just keep walking in the Lord. Keep walking. Just keep walking. Okay, I'm trying to understand what he's doing, amen, until he give it to you. He'll give it to you in part. He don't give it to you all at one time because guess what? We ain't gonna be able to handle it. He ain't gonna give baby the hammer. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't gonna baby the hammer. We're gonna try to rewrite the blueprint. Huh. Okay. Try to rewrite the blueprint. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. This star six line, amen, the question that you want to ask for myself and Prophet Matthew on the conference line, All Talk Radio. God bless you, Vasir Leon. God bless all the first responders. God bless. Amen. Our young people, amen. Our soldiers, oh, amen, out there, glory to God. When I was coming back home from San Antonio, amen, and as I was going over to get my luggage, I saw a group of people, young people, young female and male, glory to God. And I saw over there that room, they were standing outside the room. They all were standing still with attention. I said, oh, Father, new recruits. I said, new recruits. I said, Lord, do they know? I said, do they know what they're about to enter into? I said, babies. I said, God, these are nothing but babies. And I started praying for them. I started praying for them. They couldn't look at you, but they had to look forward. I said, do you know what you're about to get into? I said, do you really know? I said, but you don't know.
Yeah.
I said, my daughter's here 20 years. I said, but I'm praying for you. I'm praying for God's protection up over you, over your life, over your mind, and over your spirit. And I just start praying for I apply the blood of Jesus over you all. Glory to God. I said, God, they don't have a clue, Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. And as I was looking at them, I said, Lord God, I said, it's Uncle Sam's on it. I said, but what if? I said, but guess what if they join your army like that? I said, what if they join your army like that? They standing at attention, looking forward, God. Even when somebody told them to, they can't move their head. They got to continue to look forward. Continue to look forward. I said, Lord, I said, you know what I saw? I said, look at that obedience. I said, look at how obedient they demonstrating. They are demonstrating obedience. Before they even get there, they already signed their life, amen, over to a new master. Word to God. And now they demonstrate obedience.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Now they're going into a new place, glory to God. Where Paul, what did he tell us? He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, their mind's going to be changed.
Yeah.
minds going to be changed. Their way of thinking is going to be changed, glory to God.
Yes.
But yet, we have to pray for their minds. We have to pray for them. Amen. Glory to God. That they keep the mind of Christ. Amen. Or if they don't know God, amen, they get to know God. They give their life to God. Amen.
Yeah.
Because God is going to be their protector. It's going to be their shield. Amen. I just want to give a shout-out, amen, to Prophetess Tina Rice, glory to God, and her people in San Antonio, Texas, amen, bridging the gap, birthing
love.
Thank you. Birthing the love. I always just stay with bridging the gap, Prophet, because that used to be that's my ministry, glory to God. Bridging the gap, birthing the love. Amen. Yeah. San Antonio, Texas, glory to God. I tell you, Prophet, hallelujah, glory to God. It was just such a blessing. Amen. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. I tell you, San Antonio, Texas, loved on Mother Sydney.
That's it.
They loved on Mother Sydney. They loved on Mother Sydney. Amen. I tell you, when you talk about royalty, amen, I was treated as royalty. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. Mm-hmm. They walked the word of God out. They were doers of God's word. Amen. They were doers of God's word, because when I stepped on the soil, I just said, I'm at home. That's the word that came out of my mouth. I said, I'm at home. I said, Father, I'm at home. I felt home there. I truly felt home there. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But it talked about a new beginning. I said, Father God, I'm listening. I'm listening in the wind. I'm listening in the sound. Amen. I tell you, the Lord moved. The Lord moved there in the service. Glory to God. For the widows and those that were not widows, for those that had grief. Amen. The Lord moved, he healed, glory to God. People were set free, hallelujah. Glory to God, she had something to feed the natural, and we had something to feed the spirit, amen, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
And she embraced everybody, amen, with giftings at the end. That was a blessing.
That's
amen,
good.
Natural food, spiritual food, and then blessing, amen. The entire people, the people that came, amen, when they left, amen, they left with a natural blessing. They left with a spiritual blessing. And so, Mother Sydney, we just thank you, Prophetess Tina, and your, amen, one to nothing. I tell you, one to nothing. I had a chance to meet Gwen Marshall. Hallelujah. She came up to me. She said, Mother Sydney, you just going to ignore me? I'm like, no. I'm like, I said, I know this voice. I said, but who are you? She said, I'm Gwen Marshall. I said, oh, my God, yes, you are. It was just exciting. It was a blessing to just see her and embrace her. That's a beautiful woman of God, beautiful spirit. Amen. Good job. I had a chance to meet even some of my virtual sisters, amen, that I never seen, but we heard their voice on Clubhouse. They came from San Antonio, Texas, and another came from Houston, Texas. That was love. That was love. San Antonio, Texas is not that far, but Houston is 3 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And she drove down to see Mother Sydney. I'm like, oh, my God. And it was just such a blessing. It was just such a blessing. I just wanted to say thank you once again, Prophetess Tina Rice, and Bridging the Gap, Birthing the Love Ministry. Glory to God. in your congregation. I tell you, not congregation, but your helpers, amen, your armor bearers. Amen. Mother had an armor bearer. Amen. Glory to God. I had an armor bearer prophet. Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God.
That's what I'm talking about.
Amen. Evangelist Mary Teasley. Amen.
Yes.
Evangelist Mary Teasley was an armor bearer. And Sister Carolyn, amen. Amen.
Yes.
Sister Carolyn, amen. She, oh
my
Trina
God. Carol.
Sister Carol, yes. Is it Carol or Kathleen? Wait a minute. Sister Carol.
Katrina Carol.
Katrina Carol, yes. Katrina
yes.
Carol, yeah. She gifted me a beautiful basket. She did the basket. Amen. Glory
beautiful.
To God.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. The trip was beautiful. Everywhere I ate, oh, my God, Prophet, you already know that salad. Saliva. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Die and live again for just healthy eating, healthy
yes.
drinking. Amen. Glory to God. They had a vegan place we went to. It was off the chain. It was good. It really tastes like meat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it was just a blessing. I just thank and praise God because, Mother, I really got some rest. I got some rest before the word and after the word. Glory to God. I got some rest. Amen. But I tell you, San Antonio, Texas showed their love. They showed
amen.
Their love.
Yeah.
They were doers of God's word. Not only hearers. Glory to God.
Yes.
They were doers. And it's a blessing when you're able to be a doer of God's word, not only a hearer.
Yes.
Glory to God. And you know, prophet, sometimes, you know, people say be careful what you ask of God. Amen. Yeah, that's true. But when you ask from your heart, you know, you don't know what you have to go through. Amen. But yet, whatever you go through is worth it. You might not understand
Absolutely. Why
you're going through it, but the end results, glory to God, the end results are always beautiful. And I was telling
yes.
Goddaughter, amen, Prophetess Tina, and Evangelist Teasley, Sister Katrina, I was telling them that, you know, I'm ready for my harvest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for my return harvest. And that return harvest, what I was saying was all the work that I did, amen, as a caregiver for 10 years with my husband, how everything, what the ministry, and I was telling
yes.
that God said that was my ministry. That had nothing to do with vows. I was married. The vows kicked in, yeah, but God specifically said, your ministry is with your husband now.
Yes.
And so being a ministry, glory to God, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm ready for my return on the harvest. Amen.
Yes.
And, you know, Mother's thinking, I'm like, okay. You know, thinking that, okay,
but
when I get married
can
again.
Can I say this, Mother?
Yes, Prophet, go ahead.
Can I add this to it?
Yes, you said
it was
go
not
ahead.
Part of the vows, but I think that was a major part of the vow. But out of the vows became a ministry out of that.
Okay.
So God not only kept you dedicated as a wife,
okay.
but because the Bible said for richer, for poor, for better,
mm-hmm.
for worse. And the worst time you endure it, because oftentimes, because if you say that for some women, they'll misunderstand that. Because
okay.
you've given your all. You've given your all to this man through the good and through the bad. And some people don't endure that. People throw in the towel. They just quit throwing the towel when a husband goes through sickness or a wife goes through sickness. And because people don't value the sanctity of marriage. And you put
right.
value on an area of life that was very precious to you. So now in the end results, you're now living in the harvest of what you did. So you were faithful to your husband, but out of that came a ministry. You already had a ministry to
go. Alrighty, there you go. Yep.
And now you're in the harvest. You're just in the harvest, Mother. I tell you. And I'm saying this because oftentimes when we look at how things are done, and even people who go through marriages challenges, or divorce in a marriage, you can give what you can. You can make it a ministry. But one of the things people cannot do, you can make a man obey. You can make a woman obey. You can make a person love you. You can't make a person want you. That's a decision they made. But the love you had for your husband guaranteed you a supernatural blessing after it. So there's things that you're beneficiary of because what? The word of God said, what goes up must come down. Your love went up. Now everything come down. You reap what you sow. You're reaping what you sow. Watch this.
Amen.
What goes around comes around. It's now your season to come around. Now, watch this. Let's take it to this level. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. What goes around comes around. Now, you reap what you sow. What goes up must come down. Now, it's powerful to know, look, the people forgive, but those streets remember everything you done.
Amen.
So everything you done, you in a powerful, beneficial time in the land. And that's why when we look at the church world, and this monopoly that the church world sell people is that when you save, everything is over. No, some things are not curses. All of this stuff is consequences. And people in the church world don't understand that we're living out consequences in our life. We guaranteed eternity, but we're going to deal with our consequences in humanity. And so in life, we're dealing with things that are choices we made. We're trying to pray it away. God, move this. God, no, you have to understand those are consequences we made. And anything we do is consequences. And the offenses of the world and the religious system have sold us a market that everything we do, we're not going to deal with the consequence. Absolutely, that's incorrect. I thank God for Prophet Matthew. I thank God for Lorraine Matthews. I thank God for this prophet, bishop, and everybody called me and all the things you wrote. I thank God for it. But thanking God for it, my consequences I still have to deal with because of my faith and decision. And in that, we as believers, a lot of people don't want to be saved because what they've been marketed by the church world. Or let me not put it like that. A lot of people, when they get saved, they don't understand that there's choices that we made prior to being saved that we're dealing with right now. And then the ones who are saved are selling a system to those who are not saved that, look, if you come over here, these are all the things that's going to happen. They are, but you have to understand the consequences. Now, let's take it to marriage. There are men and women who get married to people in their life that have issues, that have consequences. So you got to understand. You want a man, you want a woman, you want a Boaz, you want a Ruth, you want a Esther, you want a Joseph, you want all of these things. But you have to understand in that ceremony, you have to deal with those. It's called ceremony. You got to have Sarah, but you're going to have to moan if you married the wrong person or if you married the right person. You still have to deal with the ceremony. What did they moan about before it became celebration? Is that up there?
Amen. Yeah.
We want all of these phenomenal things, but we have to understand that with those phenomenal things comes some pain. Most people who get married today, they have children, so you got a blended family.
Mm-hmm.
Then the ones who you don't marry, they may not have children, but I guarantee you they had some experience with a person. And then the ones who are deeply hiding, they might have had an abortion, and they still have to deal with consequences. So we're dealing with issues in our life. This hospital that we're in the church world is going to even get greater if you don't understand the medical profession of the church world. You got to understand it. I mean, this thing is man. So what I'm saying, Mother, you are in your harvest of being blessed because you serve. You serve. Amen. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for everybody who's blessed. Yeah, who's blessed. I thank God for you. I'm thanking Amen. God you're enjoying that insult. You deserve some insult.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Prophet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you because that was for Mother Sydney right there to help me to truly understand, you know, that ministry and my wife, you know, duties, amen, and the role that I played in my husband's life and saying that and seeing that, okay, not taking the vows less, but, you know, but highlighting, you know, that, still was holding on doing your vows, but yet at the end it was a ministry. And glory to God, because marriage truly is a ministry. Because if you look at marriage and you look at ministry itself, look at the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Look at the body. Look at the body when you're birthing out of ministry. It's hard. It is very hard to birth out of ministry, glory to God. Amen. It takes commitment. It takes consistency. It takes love. Amen. It takes love. It takes God's love. Amen. It takes patience. It takes long-suffering. It takes understanding. Amen. Glory to God. You're going to have many in marriage. You're going to have many trials and tribulations. That's why.
Tribulations, absolutely.
That's why James, in the book of James 1, it tells us, you know, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Amen. And how is it, why are you going through it? Amen. You're going to count that joy, what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He said, count it all joy. He already knows.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Paul already wrote it. He already said it. Because he knows. Because he's been through it. Amen. It's for
Absolutely,
our
mother.
Good. It's for our good because He said, knowing this, he said that the trying of our faith, amen, it's going to work patience out in us. Glory to God.
Yes.
And so in marriage and in ministry, glory to God, you're going to need that patience. You don't even have to ask, thank you, Father. Glory to God. You know, if you are in the marriage, glory to God, when you're in the ministry, amen. If your faith, amen, it worketh patient. Your faith, it worketh patient, amen. So if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you keep doing what you're supposed to do in the ministry, in the marriage, by loving, amen, forsaking all other, it's gonna work out your patience. But James continues to go on and tell us that patient, amen, glory to God. But he said, but let patience have her perfect weight.
Yes.
Perfect work. Let patience have her patience, her perfect work. He said, patience has, you got to let it work through you.
It
work through you. Glory to God. He said that ye may be perfect. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen.
Yeah.
And so that's what patience is going to do. Amen. That's what faith is going to do. Faith is going to work out patience in you. And I tell you, glory to God, that's what it did.
Yeah.
It worked out patience in Mother Sydney. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. It worked out wisdom and long suffering, amen. But even in the midst when Paul here is talking to Timothy, amen, James, amen, in his writing when he's saying, you know, but he's letting us know even in whatever you do, amen, if you don't have any wisdom, he said if you lack wisdom, he said, let them ask of God. That's what you should ask of God. He said, ask of God because wisdom comes from above. He said, ask of God. Amen. Ask of God the wisdom that you need in the marriage, the wisdom that you need in ministry, amen, because you yourself is making these blunders. You yourself is making these crazy decisions and conscious decisions, and you're responding when you should respond, amen. Glory to God. You're speaking when you shouldn't speak. Glory to God. I remember, amen, a young woman, amen, that I was constantly, glory to God, hallelujah, and I told her, I said, you know what? You need to be quiet. I said, you really need to be quiet. I said, be quiet. I said, be quiet. I said, you sound like one of these women that I remember my godfather was saying it. Amen. They're a cantankerous, you know, just a nagger. That's what he said. He said, you just nagging. Amen. But we have to learn how to express ourselves in a way, glory to God, that will get the husband attention. Hallelujah, glory to God. There's a way, amen, to get his attention. In the midst of all of that, God, he allowed me to see. He worked it in me. He worked patient. Amen. Even when I wasn't having patience, he checked me at that instant. He said, you're not having patience with him. And I knew it. And he sensed it. And I changed it immediately. Glory to God. And as I told my goddaughter, I said, yep. I said, I changed it immediately. Because we both was in the hallway looking at each other. He said, Thelma, he said, I can't think like you. Think like you think. Because I can't think as fast like that anymore. And we looked at each other. We started crying. And I just told him, I said, no, it's not you. It wasn't you. It was not him. It was me. Because everything has shifted. You're going to enjoying life, amen, hallelujah. You know, not having these cares of the world upon you. He's taking care of everything. And I say everything, I mean everything. Now, glory to God, didn't have to drive, didn't have to do this, didn't have to do that, whatever. Now the script flipped, and I had to walk in his shoes and my shoes. I had to walk in his shoes and my shoes. Yeah. And that is not a good feeling. That's not a good feeling. I had to think for myself and him and himself and the house. I'm like, whoa. And what that can do to the brain. Amen. What that can do to the brain. That was shock. Amen. That's overloading of the brain. And glory to God. The chemical hormones, amen, that's flaring. Amen. That's all discombobulating. Glory to God. Because what? It was a lifetime change that had effect. Wow. A lifetime change that had affected me. I had to go through it, but I yet thank and praise God I went through it.
Yes.
I tell you, and I endured it, regardless of what you're doing, because guess what? When you make it through the end, amen, it's probably said there is a reward. But in the midst of what you're going through, hallelujah, you're going to lose some things. You're going to lose some things. And sometimes you're going to lose things that are precious to you. Glory to God. Glory to God. But yet, you're coming out as pure gold in the spirit. You're going to lose some things. Naturally, you're going to lose some things. Glory to God. This is just a rhema. God just showing. You're going to lose some things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you have to realize that. And you're going to have to flow. But it's not an easy flow, glory to God. But James said, let patience have it perfect work. Let her have it patient, perfect work. Amen. Glory to God. You have to. Glory to God. Amen. And you will come out with some wounds, huh? Maybe your shy, guys, the world say. Yes. You know, the world will always say. They say, oh, my God. The caregiver always go first. I said, devil is a lie. I said, God said, this is my ministry. My ministry, you're supposed to kill me. He didn't tell me it was going to kill me.
That's right,
my ministry is going to take me out. Yeah. Amen. Look, God. And so I blessed Lord, I reverse and rebuke all that negative, what they said. That's what the world say. That's what the world say.
Yes.
Amen. The world turns, amen, as the world turns. Glory
right.
to God. But my world, hallelujah, God, was turning, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. My world was inside of God's world. My world
mm-hmm.
was in the world. I was in a kingdom. I was in a kingdom doing kingdom business, doing kingdom work. And yes, when you're in a kingdom and you're working and you're in a kingdom from a kingdom, glory to God, and working through the kingdom, amen, yes, the natural things has to fall off, glory to God. For each one is totally different. There's a burning glory to God. Everybody that goes through the fire, you come out as pure gold, but while you are in the fire here, certain things burns up. I'm the Yoshiah God. Certain things has to burn up. Glory to God, as the blacksmith have put that gold in the fire, you in the fire. You're in the fire, but certain things has to burn up. Glory to God, that you may come out pure as gold, amen. And he see how the dross, amen. And that's the sin, glory to God. That's the things that weigh you down, glory to God. It flows to the top. It flows to the top, amen. Yo, arrogantness, amen, your selfishness, glory to God, your bitterness, your unforgiveness, amen, all of that flows to the top, amen, glory to God, yo, me, myself, and I, and the Oshaya God, and the world turns around me and for me, all of that drops, glory to God, flows to the top, and they keep putting you in the fire and in dipping in life. I want to see until you become in the image of Christ, until you allow yourself, amen, when you're walking past a mirror, you will see yourself. Hi, it is the Oshaya. Glory to God. So you're going to lose some things. Hi, it is the Oshaya, God. Glory to God. You're going to lose some things, men. You're going to lose some things, women. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But just let patience have its perfect way work in
That's
you.
Good.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because it's faith, amen. It's through faith, amen. Patience is going to be produced. Glory to God. So you don't have to ask God for patience, amen. Hallelujah. But it said, let patience have a perfect work that ye may be perfect and entire. Wanting nothing,
yeah.
God. Hallelujah. Because it's going to
you know something, Mother?
Go ahead, Prophet.
And you know something to add to that? When you talk about people who deal with the care that you gave your husband and individual who's in that arena or do that type of work, anything you do, you must have a passion for.
Amen.
And they said, well, and I think you mentioned, people say those who are in that field, they die before their client or they die before the time. That's not necessarily the case. Anytime you have a passion for whatever you like, success will always follow you because there are lots of people that are in ministry for the, fortune. They're in ministry for the fashion. They're in ministry because they watch what we do and say they can do that. They're in ministry for the audience, the stage, or the arena. And people are not doing ministry for the purpose that God has mandated them to do ministry. And then people to understand this point of view about ministry. You have to understand, saints of God, men and women of God, who is doing ministry, who's involved in the work of the ministry. When you look at other people doing what they do, whether they get it from they fail in ministry or they fail and made a comeback in ministry, just for a man or a woman to step out to deal with the internal conflict, to release the external presence of God, that's not an easy place. It's almost like Anytime you're pastoring, you're really dealing with two personalities. You have to deal with a personality to serve the people, and then you have to deal with your own human self. Now, to add to that, if you marry, you have to deal with the things of a family. You have to deal with your own personal life, and you have to
Amen.
Deal with ministry.
Hallelujah.
So if anybody who has a job or a
Hallelujah.
Work job, I would rather see a man or woman a job that they have a passion for than work a job they're working for money. Because if you think
Amen.
You're working for money, you're going to forever work that in overtime. But if you're in something you love and you have a passion for it, you're drawn
Amen.
By that passion.
Amen.
So it's no
Hallelujah.
Difference what the price tag is. You're bringing a price to the table. You're bringing
Amen.
Something great
Hallelujah.
To that table. And you won't die early if you are working in your career.
Amen.
What they call what do they call that? First responders. If you
mm-hmm.
love being a nurse or a doctor, if you love being a police officer, sheriff, if you love being an EMT individual or a fireman, if that's
Amen.
Your career, you're going to last in it because that's what you love.
Yes,
I tell people,
yes.
this is what I do right now. I know everybody can't do what I do. So
Amen.
You have to have a certain type of passion for this. Now, if you have a mate that looks at you and want to be with you, that man, a woman, must understand your passion, and especially
Amen.
If it's ministry, especially if it's the first responder job, because so many people are looking at an individual and not what comes with the systems of the package or the gift,
Amen.
Because there's more to that than what they think or the eye will think. So to do a ministry or to be a first responder, whether a CNA, a nurse assistant, somebody that deals with, what do they call it, the hospitality of the hospital to make sure every room is cleaned out after
yeah.
a person
yeah.
dies. All of those
yeah.
jobs, you have to have a passion to do that. And people just don't have a passion, Mother City. They don't.
Amen.
They don't have
Amen.
That passion. They don't be driven by that. My longevity of ministry is because this is my life. I love what I do. So even if I give, it's because I love what I do. I don't run
Amen.
Out of energy when I have a passion. Because your passion is what you love in life.
Amen.
Jesus, when they did the movie The Passion of Christ, they did it from the perspective, and I think, can't even think of his name, all of the challenges he went to make the
yeah.
money and the money he spent, then he made more, he made seven times what he spent out do the movie. But look at how the movie was so done close to the Bible. To the exact of the Bible way that it drew people to come into the house of the Lord, get a relationship with the Lord, come to the knowledge of Jesus, or the relationship with Yeshua, because he has the passion. And you have to have a passion to do this. Even though we might say we're tired, we're upset, we get tired of the same old foolishness. Yeah, you do, but it does not take away from your passion for what you love to do. And what you love to give of yourself. So you're giving of yourself. And those
yes,
who are listening,
Lord.
You're
yes,
giving
Lord.
Of yourself for this. Now, if you think in ministry you have a retirement, you're barely mistaken. You're going to always do ministry. Your ministry
Amen.
Is your life. It's almost like a friend of mine, a friend of my father, who worked all of his life. And when he retired, soon as he retired, he was gone in about 30 days. It wasn't because of his retirement, because he gave of his passion and his love. See, what you have to understand, when you love something, you may retire from it from that capacity, but your
yes.
passion continue to go on for that job.
Yes.
You have a hairdresser, a barber, a daycare facility, a teacher. The job we do, it must be passion. See, the world, most people in the world, they're working for money. money, when you work for money, that changed the dynamics of life, because I don't work for money. Money works for me, because in me I carry a value, and my value can get me as much money as I want to because I have a passion for what I do. I love what I do. This is my life. So when I get off from one plane to another and preach and teach the word of God, I have a passion. So even if those who are what we call frenemies, enemies, demons, you know it, it doesn't bother me, because I know in my passion, my job is that I'm going to deal with those spirits. I'm going to deal with phonies. I'm going to deal with fake. I'm going to deal with pretenders. I'm going to deal with contenders. So I deal with more contenders than pretenders. The pretenders, they who are, but the contenders, I deal with more of that. So in what we do, it's a passion of what we love. This is what you have to do. You have to love what you do. If you don't love what you do, why waste your own time? Why 10 years down the road, you're more sicker than you are? Why 20 years down the road, you won't get a small retirement and you don't work 50, 60 hours of overtime and you're working for money? Because you're just working to live. You're working to live. You're going to go, I got to live. But you're still struggling 25 years later. Why? Because you're trying to, you're working for money. So guess what? You're working for people who making 20 times what you want. But here's the, look at what you're doing. You're working for more money so you can take care of more bills and buy more things. I don't have to buy more things and buy more stuff. I have a passion. So my passion, when I buy stuff, I have more than enough because I have a passion. I don't have to have a closet full of a lot of clothes. I can take 5 pairs of pants and 20 shirts and shift them around and still wear it and look great in. I can buy 10 pairs of shoes and not buy 50 pairs of shoes, because you have people who don't have a passion. They're just existing. They're not living. Right. They're existing. I'm not existing in the world. You know, I was sharing with some of my friends and even people that I talk to, you know, and believe me, I don't have to be around anybody, especially a woman. I interview them when I look at them. If I look at them from a distance, I already interviewed you. I can tell you if you could be part of my life, if you're not, because I just interviewed you. I've already interviewed you, because I got to be so keen in this dispensation of my life, because I would have more to lose now than I ever at my age. So I have to interview while I'm looking. If I get off a plane and see somebody, look, okay, yeah, interview is over, keep moving. You know what I'm saying? But you got to understand.
Yeah.
I'm not into sexuality. I'm into femininity. I'm looking for somebody that's feminine and got something going on for themselves. I don't have time for foolishness. So in life, you got to understand, if you're in the realm of passion, you got something to offer. I don't worry about, okay, what are they going to offer me? No, the question is, what do I have to offer them? Because you have to have a passion what you do in life. And that's the key.
Right.
You know, that's the thing that creates the creativity of life and the things of life. You don't worry about what people tell you. Oh, you got to be careful of this person. You got to be careful of that person. No, I might have to be careful of you. You know what I'm saying? Because when you have a passion, you don't worry about those things. Because when creativity hits you, you create a masterpiece of where you're going to go. And so nothing in life gives you to get to this place in life. You don't worry about that thing. You don't worry about who don't and who will not go or will not be part of. You already create a passion. Let me tell you something. A woman who has passion and a man who has passion, you don't worry about an audience. An audience will find you. Why? Because a man who has a passion, if you on fire with a passion, people come to watch you burn, because you have that type of passion in your life. So in your life, with the passion you have, your drawing mechanism and your passion and your drive and your love for things you do, because you're driven by that force or that passion of where you're going to go, because you put value on a thing in life. And so in life, you graduate to things. You graduate from things, and you graduate to things, so that your life can be directed in a certain way, in a certain arena. If you don't have a passion and you work a job, you're wasting your time, because 10 years down the road, you're not going to be happy. 15 years down the road, you're going to be happy. I'm not working for money. I don't do that. I never did that. At first, I started off, you know, I need to do this. But God said, you know what? Think about it. You're doing something that I created you to do. So
Amen.
If you do it, I'm going to give you everything you need to fulfill it. I'm going to give you every tool you need to do what you need to do. See, if you live in a world and you have a passion, then you don't worry about people, places, and things, and who says what and who does what. Your passion opens up the door for the powerful presence. And in
yeah.
that presence, everything begins to happen for your life, for God. No matter who copies after you, who cut and paste your life, who mimic your life, no one can do what you can do, period. So if you have a passion, run with that thing. Don't falter along the way. Don't second grade your passion. When the people who work more and more money, they lose the greater of who they are because they're looking at the greater. Their income don't change. Their value don't change. They get more bills. Everything becomes more of a struggle because that's where their value is. You have to look at where you want to go in life and surround yourself in that passion. And from that place, you maneuver in that dimension and you maneuver in that level, and everything will work in your way and for you because you have to have a passion. You have to be driven by that stimuli in life, by that theme in life, by that purpose. You know, some of my family members, siblings, the people that I know, I shared with my family members and some people, and they were saying to me, they said, Lord, something has changed you. Well, when you look at life more and you look at the bitterness of life and the bittersweets of life, you have to understand some things you don't waste time with, some things you don't let people make decisions with. You have to understand where is your passion in life and where your passion is their success. You have to know those things in life and where you're going to go and what you're going to do. I love dealing with the mysterious. I just love it. I love breaking stuff down. I love getting codes. So I don't worry about when somebody says, are you dealing with astrology? Well, you need to get some astrology yourself. You need to understand what astrology is all about. See what you, what they, and look at, and let me tell you something. Isn't it interesting, the religious world, watch this. Isn't it interesting, the religious world, us, and then Black America, we, and I'm not talking about following these horoscopes, because that's what they call horoscopes. We're not talking about that. I'm not literally talking about that element of studying astrological things, the light, the stars, hemisphere, troposphere, biosphere, lithosphere, heliosphere, the movement of the earth. Isn't it interesting of a slave master took you all and told you all of those things were slave, that they were witchcraft, and guess what? It made you not able to escape the traps of the slave master. Why? Because they will use astrology to determine how they can maneuver you in a cotton field. And look at Harriet Tubman. She understood the astrological research. She understood the time that the time to escape. She understood the hour to escape.
She knows
the wind escape. And here we are in a church world. We don't even know how to escape demons because we don't understand how God told Abram to look in the stars, count the stars. And he counted the stars, and he said, number the stars. And when he looked at the stars and he numbered it, he said, now, tell me what you can do with the stars. He said, I can't count them. He said, that's why I'm going to make you a leader. I'm not going to make you great. Now, watch this. Let me help the people of God out. You all want to know something today. Think about this. Now watch this. And I want everybody to go and study this right now. Don't even study it. Do it effectively today. March 28th, Grammy, the Oscars, Will Smith walks up give an artificial slap to comedian Chris Rock. The whole world is focused on two black men and slapping another black man. Now we create chaos. Now watch this. Just because he said one word, G.I. Joe James. Now, let's go back and look at what was this all about. You ready? Let's look at it. G.I. Joe James trademark had been used by Hasbro for several different toy lines. Although the two had been successful, the original 12-inch 30-centimeter line was introduced February 2nd, 1954, the center of the realistic action figure in the United Kingdom. This line was licensed by Polly Toys, as known as an Action Man. In 1982, the line was relaunched in a 3.75-inch, 9.5-centimeter scale, completed with the ability to do what it did. Now, I want to go up here. Now, G.I. Joe is an American media franchise. American media franchise. And a line of action figures owned and produced by toy company Hasbro. Now, listen to this. The initial product offer represented four branches of what? Space Armed Forces. Number one, United States Army. Number two, United States Navy. Number three, United States Air Force. Number four, United States Marine. And later, the Action Nurse. Now, after that slap, and that happened, immediately God said to me, tell the people in the earth, tell the people, prepare. We are in a, let me go to my notes of what I wrote down so people can understand this. With clarity, not just for mimicking. This is actual fact, actual truth. Fact is different truth. We are in a declared war. We are in a declared war. Watch this. We officially entered into a declared war. Now, what has transpired? What showed in the media? Now, what is the media showing after this? We are in an all-out declared war. If you look at the Oscar itself, the ancient Oscar, the Egyptiology Oscar, the King Tut Oscar, all of the great things that come from this fantasy or this world of what we call television, teleporting imagery. Now, here you have, immediately after the Oscar, all of these things are happening around the world. Involved with it, a black male.
Uh-huh.
Brooklyn, a black male. Sacramento, a black male. So it's always a cycle of things that they said. And now, how many people have came from Ukraine to the United States? Over a million people have came from Ukraine to the United States. Why? Because when we depopulate the black male, depopulate the black family, we can now bring in those people from Ukraine. Because in 1987, when Ronald Reagan was president of the United States, he made a deal with Ukraine and other countries that they would do what they do. He had to make good on his covenant of 1987 to all of these people. So we depopulate the black, who are now a majority in the country, and now you see the sons of Issachar, Spanish people rising up, because it's all a pandemic, and people are not getting it. Where are the real black leaders? You don't hear none of them. You don't hear no black leader, period. And the one we have in there, whoever she is, she's a sellout, and they give you one judge who will be used, because all she's doing is pushing a feminine woman movement for women. And look at what's going on in black America. Look at what happened to the black male. So now you turn on the TV. Everything you see is a black male. What? He's now downgraded. Why? Because they couldn't kill him in 2019. They couldn't take the black male in 2020. They couldn't take him out of 2021. And guess what? In 2022, they survived. So here you are, and I can speak for myself. I am an endangered species. Why? Because I'm first a black male. I'm a powerful black male. a very brilliant black male that carries an oil on me that's touching lives all over the world. And I'm just thanking God, because the rest of the year I'm probably booked in every city in the United States. But it to prove the point is that what's happening in the world is where we're coming. Now we're taking the seed of the original people and we're contaminating. And then all of the 9%, because we're 13% of the world, right, of the United States. So 9% of black America have already took the shot. So guess what? 10, 11, 12, 13. You got 4% of black America that have not took the shot, and we're promoting and pushing it. So 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026, 2027 is going to be a horrendous time for our culture. Why? Because we fall for the system and the way they control it. You don't have real leaders. You just have followers. The real women who look for real men, you can't find none, really, because it's almost a tough time. And then the men who find good women, they're most of them are dominant ones who ain't going to submit to a man anyway because they didn't have a father in their home. And then other males who don't even have a father in their home, they're not going to follow a black man. So guess what? Mm-hmm. You stand alone in a world fighting for everybody. So here it is. Every month I break a code. Watch this. Every month I break a code to the United States. You know, I was over in New Jersey. So we was in New Jersey, and powerful service there. People were, you know, the private session that we had, because we had a private session with people, most people kept asking about intelligence. How do you do this? And it was more question about how do we reveal, how do you understand, how do you tap into these dimensions, how do you tap into this? The only way you can understand what God is doing is you got to open your mind up to the things of him.
Amen.
See, all of this religious genre that's been sold from a religious system, you're going to forever never come into the knowledge of God. Even like now, everybody remember, in 2020, they were doing the same thing. The same thing with coronavirus. They were telling everybody, shut up their houses, go in your houses, right around this path. Right during the Passover. Right, because it was all passing over. The same spirits, the same issue. It doesn't change. Why? Because they know that you don't study history. You don't study your culture. You don't study your background. You don't really have one. You do, but you follow the systems of the world, and they dictate you. And I said, don't hate on me. Don't be upset with me. Don't get frustrated with me. I'm just trying to tell you what's going on. What's happening in a world? What's really is a reality here? So here you are. Here they are. The gentleman that was in prison. Let's look at the gentleman who they let out from prison a week. I think it was 2 weeks before the Sacramento shooting. All right. Now think about this. And I'm going to go out on the edge and I could challenge anybody. That's how it is. We're going to let you out of prison, but you're going to work for the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go and you're going to do this right here. We want you to incite an event. This is what we want you to do, because we're going to let you out of prison early. We know you got a criminal record, but you got to do this. Why? And think about all of the young men who are in prison that they're going to let out, because they already know those neoparticles in them, they can control them. So we want you to go out and incite an event. So now this young man does what he does in Sacramento. Then they jump on the media and say he got all of these records. Yeah, but you all let him out prison soon. Why? Because you already made a deal with him. See, you got to understand how they strike a deal. I told the people that in 2020 and coming into 2021, we're in for one of the most horrendous time of our life. COVID-19 is just a setup. You ain't seen what else is coming behind it. So you're watching a system. Even some of the parents, black mothers and black fathers, Look at your sons and daughters who go in prison, who go into the military, and look at how they change. You'd be like, what happened to you, son? They can't even tell you because they put all of these things in them, these certain kind of shots. I'm not telling you what to do, but my son ain't going into the United States military, a black male. I don't care if he's doing 20 years or 30 years. He's absolutely unequivocally not, because it's a mind-altering thing to control them, to manipulate them. They have a drug for black, and they have a drug for white. They have a drug for Spanish. They have a drug for you. You have to understand how this system is working, how demonic it is. So when I sit and reveal things to you and let you know the intelligence of demonic spirits, people sit back. You know what? Oh, that's not true. Well, do the research and come back and have a conversation with me. Because, see, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to let you do the research, and you can see. In 1968, everything, who came back in 1968? Most of the black men came back to the same neighborhood, broken down, hurt, wounded. They were over there for opium there. 1964, all of that stuff. 1932, when they were over in the Vietnam War, even the German people said to them, look at you black people on the back of the train, and we sitting in a good seat, y'all still on the back of the train, and that's over the turn of the century, and World War One and Two. We still were disrespected even then. Why? Because we have not learned yet. So in our culture, now watch this. 2020 was the year of the hotspot. In 1944, it was the year of the redlining. So they went from redlining to hotspot. So you still dealing with the dynamics of it. You still dealing with what existed around it. You still dealing with the drama. You still dealing with the mess. So there it is. Let's slap the black man in the face and prove to them this is what we're going to do. This is the way we do it. We do this all the time. So now we got a Brooklyn. Now we mess with the camera. What did they say? They didn't. You all don't know about this. They go in the subway. They mess with the cameras. Oh, somebody mess with the cameras. Yeah, then you got in certain communities. They can't find out who did these mass shootings because it's intelligent. They incite events, and then they take a young man and make him, because he got a record, or find someone who got a record, and they put them in. They pinpointing all of us. Look at the media. Look at the media. Who's in the place? The black man here. A black man here. So guess what? Our sisters, the white man, and everybody said, okay, there it is again. Because it's always something against us. So myself personally, I try to be the greatest example of what a black man should be like. Hands down. You hate me. That's okay. You'll get over it. Even in the flow, I don't care. But you got to understand, we're not perfect people, but you got to understand what we are up against in this world, the battle of what we get. So get on the airplane. I think that was actually was only the only black man on the airplane. I promise you would have. On my way back from Arizona, I was the only black man on the airplane. I kid you not, mother's the only black man on the airplane. All of the kids, white people, and black. I'm the only black man on airport. So I sit in a comfortable row in a seat, in a comfortable seat, right there, you know, in between comfortable seating. So I'm the only one on there. But my point is we as black males have to work extra to be who we are. And we have to work extra hard to maintain where we are. So we are in an endangered species. You know, I wrote something 5 years ago. I think it was about probably 10 years ago. This is interesting. I don't know how I broke it down, but I'm gonna try to do it slow, okay? Because I got to try to do it slow so it can make sense. Okay, I think I told somebody about it, and I wrote it down, but I just kind of lost myself. Okay, a black man. A black man. We are in danger, very much a dangerous species. People want to be like us. How do I break it down? I'm trying to do it real slow. I went down the list. Maybe I'll write it next week, and then I'll bring it back and go down and let them understand what we have to what we have to entail with our 2.1%, 2.7% of black males in prison right now. And then, let me stop right now because I'm moving too fast. Let me try to put that together. I might write it down and give it over to Mother Cindy and let her talk, and then write it down how I broke it down, what we are, how we are such an endangered species, and how we are in the world, and the intelligence of where we are and what's going on in the world, and exciting event. But let me say this. With 1.2 million black men in prison all over the United States, just imagine they're in prison. But now, here it is on the United States Congress, House of Lords, on the United States Congress just passed the marijuana law. So they're getting ready to legalize marijuana, right? Y'all follow me? Now, all of these men who are in jail for selling marijuana, and then now in certain states, they haven't approved it yet. So they're trying to take as many of us off the street now before they officially legalize it. Now, isn't it interesting? In our certain states, they have not pushed the legalization of it because they know we're more populated in those states. So if we get caught with marijuana and weed, we can lock them up. So it's easy to give it to Colorado and make it legalized because we're not a majority up there, California and other states. So they know what they're doing. So while all of our political leaders around, well, I'm not going to call them leaders, the political black pawns that are in places in the world who's only promoting themselves and what they're doing, they ain't doing nothing. You control, you're told what to do. Barack Obama was a decoy to go into over there in Libya and use and take out Muammar Gaddafi and all of these decoys like y'all were doing so much. You were just a decoy. You were used as a decoy, and you promoted the down low, and you never promoted the up high. You had opportunity to let two blacks to the Supreme Court. You didn't do it. So all of this stuff that we see now, all of these things, man, come on. He'll go down in history as a president that will become infamous. Do you know what a person is that's infamous? You go down in history as a nobody, literally a nobody, almost infamous.
All right.
You were the people pleaser for them, and you didn't do anything. So in saying what I'm saying right now, March 28th was already a setup to pinpoint us against each other. And it was already incited. They knew, and they knew statistically, that the percentage of us who would not fall for the Okie drug, call it the Okie drug now, the Okie drug, we didn't fall for it. And most of the brilliant young men like myself who didn't fall for the Okie drug would be the rising occasion in 2023, 2024, 2025. I'm not saying what I'm saying from an arrogant. I'm saying from a confident in God. I can see my future in God because I trust in God. I don't have to hide anything. When they came to my house, listen to me. When that white agent looked me in the face, I think I shocked her. Her face got nervous. She looked, and I looked at her. She looked at me, and I looked at her. What I said, she said what she said, and she was gone. Why? Because you don't fear man. All of these people who run in with fear, scary cat spirit, worried about all these things, you know why? Because you don't have faith in God. You got to get to a place in your life where certain things will not intimidate greatness. That's why you have to have a passion to do what you do. You have to have a passion to be where you are at. You know, some stuff I can't even talk to the people about. And the person that you can talk to, I just don't talk to them anymore. But, you know, there's some things start reading, Lord Jesus. No, I got to be quiet on that one because I can't reveal that until later. Later on. But anyway, let me go back over here. Let me step back over this chapter here. But anyway, so you say, in life, you must have a passion for what you do in life, because when you have this type of passion, nothing can stop the drivenness of where you are. You don't be moved by that. You don't be shaken by these things, because when you have a passion, understanding, you understand where you at in the world and the way things are done. So when you see all of these genres of things that are happening, you're not moved. Here, oh shoot, should I tell it? Might as well. No, I can't tell it because I was told not to reveal it yet until we're done with it. But I'm gonna put this out here. I'm gonna put this like this for the world. Okay, let me. I'm gonna throw a freebie at you. When you see me at this next place, then you can say, I knew Prophet Matthew. I'll put it like that, and I'll end it like that. Just quote like that, okay? Now, let's move back to the passion. You have to have a passion in what you do. And when you have a passion in what you do, people look at what you do. But under the passion is number one. Watch this. Write this down, somebody. Under passion, you have to have something in you that nobody in the world can create. Number one.
Man.
You got to have something that nobody in the world can create. Millionaires will seek you out. Government official will seek you out. Politician will seek you out. Royal people will seek you out. Dictators will seek you out. Presidents will seek you out, because you're revealing something to a world that they want in on. Number one. You carry something in you that the world will seek you out for. You don't have to look for a stage. You don't have to look for an arena. You don't have to look for a platform. Reuse what's inside you that nobody else can do. Watch this. You guys want to know something? Turn to the book of Daniel. Look at the book of Daniel. And this will bless you. Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1, this is what Daniel did. Daniel took care of his health at 100%. He refused to eat at the Babylonian table. He refused to eat of the food of the Babylonian people. He did, number one. For 20 years, they fed us the food from the Babylonian table. And so they knew that when you come in 2019, we knew that you were going to have pre-existing conditions. We knew that you were our medicine. You are research. When we took all of the good food from you and gave you the salt and pepper and all of that stuff, we gave you our food. We gave you the food. So while people are preaching, Daniel was on a fast. Daniel was not on a fast. That was his lifestyle. When I changed my entire eating habit, totally, my entire eating habit, I get up this morning, move. I immediately do 100 sit-ups. I stretch for about 25 minutes. I open up pores in my prophetic realm, and I tap into me. You know why? Because I tap into a presence. I let no synergy of humanity stop eternity. I stretch myself and pour so that when the lady, there was a, and this is, it happened, and I don't know if she's on today. It was a lady in the service. She had ovarian cancer. Listen to me, people, God. Let me tell you something. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you're going to use me, use all of me. Don't use no some of me, a little of me. She had ovarian cancer. She gave me the report, statistics, doom, doom, doom. She said, man of God, and let me hear the recording. She let me hear the total recording of everything I said. She said, man of God, you said to me, if I release this, God is going to heal my body. Boom. It didn't take 20 days. It didn't take 5 days. It didn't take 40 days. Immediately, she went back to the doctor several days ago, maybe a week. Kill or ovarian cancer. Why? Because you got to tap into a dimension in your mind, in your spirit, in your health. The body of Christ has to be healthy to tap into these dimensions. When Paul wrought special miracles by his body, he carried a certain dimension. He was in the service. This young lady was in there. Suicidal. Came into the service. completely suicidal, anxiety bound. I get a call yesterday. The man of God said, man of God, we have to get you back to our city. And I'm taking anything for myself. He said, whatever you did for this young lady, she is telling everybody about how she was healed. You told her about the suicidal thought. You told her in May such and such next month, she would not be here if she didn't come to the service. The lady was suicidal, Mother Sydney. She was ready to kill herself, to take her life. God said, take the woman of God. And I ain't worried about people because people say, you hugging people. Do you think I care about any of you people worried about who I hug? This is my body. I can hug all day long. You want a hug, I'll give you one for free. It won't cost you nothing. But anyway, I grabbed this young lady, and I embraced her. God said, don't release her. Do you know I felt virtue hit come out of my body? I was so weak, Mother. I was almost falling down, but the Holy Ghost kept me steady. That young lady left, and because I left the city, the pastor called me. He said, man, I need to give you this report. He said, the young lady you ministered to, you just don't know what you did. I said, no. I said, I'm just doing the will of the Lord, and that's it. Man, God supernaturally did something for her. The pastor of the church. See, this is what I'm talking about, having a passion what you do. If you love what you do, don't let nobody take your passion away.
Amen.
Well, I'm mad at them. I'm not going to use my gift. You mad at somebody, okay? Walk in that drawback spirit if you want to. You'll miss it. I'm not missing anything that God has for me in this century. You know, I'm working on this piece. I already started it. I call it the graduating class of 2020. It's called a series. And I'm already starting. I'm going to prepare. I already started Tuesday night. It's time to graduate. The graduating class of 2020, if you study the Gregorian calendar, this is the year of the masterpiece for the Jesuit order. Dr. Fauci is part of it. Bill Gates is part of it. All of these billionaires are part of the secret Jesuit order. They already know that the lot fell on this dispensation of time. Not only the dispensation, the season, the year, the month, the decade, this is the decade that's going to revolutionize the black race of people. They knew it. They studied this way back through Aristotle and Plato. They understood. That, guess what? Because they studied the stars. They studied the moon. They study hemispheres and tropospheres. So when I start speaking about atmospheres and tropospheres and biospheres and breaking things down to people as it relates to the phenomena and opening those borders up, I didn't go to their school. I didn't go to the school of thought. I didn't go to the university. So as that poor white woman looked at, she stood up. You can study, man. She didn't have words to say. I know, ma'am. Don't worry about it. It's all good. You're just going back where you're going. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. When you understand your passion and who you are, you carry some of the most powerful things inside of you. But you have to take care of your health in your mind. So you got to let that sugar go, all that other stuff you eat from. Take care of your body. Take care of your mental capacity. Take care of everything that you need to make you healthy. And stop following all of this phony, prophetic stuff on Clubhouse. And I was invited to Clubhouse. When that brother pulled that stunt on me, Mother Sydney, I said, I'm out.
Well, I know.
And then he reached back. Prophet, we wanted you to say something. No, you didn't. Because when I was on your page, what you did, you muted me. And then said, oh, I accidentally muted you. Please don't play with me, man. I can go on. I can do my own Clubhouse. I just haven't went on there yet because of things, kind of things I'm doing. So I said, I ain't going to play with that game. I'm coming on club. I want you to join me. No, because I'm not going. When I start prophesying to the lady and making it sense, and she started crying, then you meet me. Oh, what happened? I said, you muted me. Oh, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. I got to unmute you. You still ain't unmute me. So when I decided to drop and get off of that, now he want me to come back on. Please, get about it. You gotta create something for your own self. Mm-hmm. See, you are helping everybody else, and you ain't helping yourself. No, absolutely, unequivocally not. You have to do what you can do for yourself. Here I go, Arizona. I was I went to Arizona because I was on an event ticket. I can't even think of his name. What is that singer name? Name some of them singers out there. What is the guy's name? He's well known. Delaney. I was on a ticket with them. Nobody even know this. I was supposed to do the prophetic side of Delaney. So when he does his singing, after he sings, I'm supposed to go to the stage and do the prophetic side. But they canceled the event. So when they canceled the event, I didn't even get to do my ticket. I just said, okay, forget it. So they called me back and said, hey, if somebody was watching you on Facebook, they want to know, would you come? I said, well, since I'm already on it, might as well. You know, let me show you back. I said, might as well. You know, I mean, might as well. So they paid for the ticket. They paid for the house and everything. I go to a church. 90% Spanish people had an interpreter minister to the family. The interpreter said, wow. I said, what? She said, I just felt the rhythm. I just felt something coming. I said, that's the spirit of God. See, it flowed from my mouth into you, and it hit, and it moved in. So I'm ministering. I am speaking in English language. So you have people think, speaking in tongues, I won't speak to you.
Yeah.
Let me show you some real healing. I'm speaking to a lady that's Spanish, and I'm interpreting to this lady here, and she is speaking into that lady. And guess what? Every word is speaking to her life from when she was with Santeria to her life. Why? Because you have something inside you that no one else can do. So stop blaming church. Stop blaming pastors. Stop blaming people. Stop blaming folks for what's inside you. You got to get to the point in your life where people shouldn't influence the oil on your life. You should be able to step out. You flawed. Look, I messed up in 2017. I messed up in 2010. I messed up in 20 whatever day. But guess what? I didn't quit because of how I fell down. God determines on how I get up. Why? Because he's up. He's not down. You have to understand, beloved, no matter what people say to you, don't stay down. Stand up and move with haste. There's something that's coming. It is going to shake up the world. But very few people are going to be used for that dispensation of time. They had already gave you the movie. They already gave you the X-Men movie they showed you. They already gave you the Walking Dead movie. They already showed you. They already showed you all of the other genres of stuff. They're preparing you already for what's to happen. Everything you watch it is happening. Why is it that the oil price is going up? It ain't got nothing to do with Russia. They're getting ready to make by 2030 electric cars. So what they're doing is they're looking for the nickels. You know nickels? You know that nickel? They're looking for nickels. You know why? Because there's a certain material that they need. This is all planned. So when you sit down with these people, like I do, and you break down things, and they're amazed. Isn't it interesting how Harvard Washington invented all of these phenomenal things, and Henry Ford made all of the money off of his idea, and then they castrated him so that he won't use his inheritance to go down the line. So I talked to my son and I said, son, you got to use your gift. Breeze, Team Tachi, you got gifts. My daughters, they're so brilliant. My sons are so brilliant. I said, look, son, look, this. You are so talented. You don't even know what you have on your life that comes down from the bloodline. These are powerful things you're going to inherit. So just ride the tide. You follow what I'm saying? You have to know what's on your life right now, hands down, that no one can take away from you, hands down. And stop sitting there, living in the valley. Listen, living in the valley of your guilt. Man, shoot. How many of you all sitting living in the valley of guilt? This you did. That, shake that off. Shake it off. There are billions and trillions of dollars waiting for you to house it, to take it yourself. If you waiting for money to get where you're going, it'll never happen. If you go where you're going, money will find you. It will search you out. It will look you down, and it will willing to bless you because of what you have inside of you. Your creative mechanism is so powerful. And look at me. I'm speaking to people. And right now, some of you right now, I just did a whole seminar, and you should be wealthy right now. Everything I just went into a broken code and deprogrammed you. I went into an area of your life and just changed your life forever. I just said something to you you never thought could be done because it's inside you. It's so great inside you. So when we finished ministering to that young lady, I said, boom, man. Matter of fact, I got three engagements that's bumping heads with each other all at one time. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, man, which one I should do? I would never like that. I said, man. He said, well, ministry, we got one but with a family issue, one family event, and I'm like, man, wow. I'm like, man, this is just blessing me. And then you want to share with people, but you can't because you know what they do? They misbehave. you can't even share with people misbehave. And you know, in Arizona, I'm digressing too, so I'm just getting to the point. In Arizona, when I walked into the office of the pastor, immediately the pastor, the apostle said, "You are a Bartimaeus. You are a Bartimaeus." So I wouldn't study. I said, "Let me see what Bartimaeus is." I said, "Man, this is what I'm doing. I'm going places. I'm opening doors for sons and daughters. I'm making connections. I'm connected." Bartimaeus opened doors for Paul, connected, brought Paul to the apostles. And I'm a Bartimaeus. And I'm like, wow. She said, you are a Bartimaeus. You're a connector. You're connecting people dots. You're opening up doors. Look at it. This door opened for other people. This door opened for other people. There's doors that wouldn't have even been opened from some people if it wasn't from a Bartimaeus who introduced you to another person. This door opened. That door opened. Because you got to be a Bartimaeus. Nobody want to open doors for nobody. Nobody want to, give me a few dollars under the table. Well, see, look what happened to New York City. The lieutenant governor, a black man. What bribery. I tell you, there's another one. Here we go. Another hit against us. So do you think for one time I'm going to allow let me stop. 2 nights ago, I was in the shower, Arizona. Do you know what the guy said to me, Mother Sydney? Asked me what? Said, what do you say? Come on, say, what do you say? My partner. My Mother Sydney, my partner. Come on. I meet the lad, Mother Sydney. What do you say?
Amen.
Okay. Now,
amen. Prophet, you got it. You have
okay,
it.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, now, listen to this. Now, here's where I was in the shower. And a small voice said to me, Narayan, now, this is powerful. It didn't say my name, Narayan, but I hear when it talks to me. It said, be very careful. The enemy is coming after you. I said, wow. I was in the shower, and I was watching, and at the word, it said, and when I got really quiet, because I was sitting, you know, meeting people, ministry folks, it said, Narayan, the enemy is coming after you. Be very careful of people. The enemy is trying to set you up. Pastor Simon, I stood up in the shower. Man, I stood up straight up. Why? Because God warned me. He's warning me. He said, I'm telling you. I heard that small voice. He said, be very careful. The enemy, be very careful. He's coming after you, and he's trying to set you up. Wow. Man. And my prophetic antennas went up to the highest peak, and it have not went down from that day forward. It's at the highest peak now. Everything and every person is in a watchful eye. my intent, my prophetic antenna to shoot at the highest peak. Because God said, look. And then you know what he said to me? And I can tell it with people. He said, Lamar, I heard it in my voice. He said, I'm getting ready to take you places that you wouldn't even imagine. Because he gives you the good news first. God gives you the good stuff first. And he said, this is what I'm doing. Showing you. If you stay in this place, this is what I'm doing. Then, boom, it shifted. And he said, be very careful. He said, they're watching you, and they're coming after you. And be very careful. The enemy is trying to set you up. Just like that. Boom. Then I'm like, shh. Why? Because when you are doing something for the kingdom, you have to know you are a target. Some people run, take a, well, I'm not going to run. Because you have to know where you are in the kingdom of God. You have to know who people are. So my antennas just like zoomed. All of a sudden, in the last 36 hours, God has released a keen discernment on me. Boom. I can know stuff. I can pick it up. It's so keen on me. And I'm like, whoa. And I had to be careful because I had to say, man, is this really what they're saying? Or man, is this really what they're telling me? It's keen. It's almost like I'm going through a digital realm. Analog to a digital, because I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, this is cute. Amen. And then I said, Lord, I don't really want to lose this place, so let me stay here. Let me stay in this place. Because I don't let certain atmospheres I get into, I'm like, I don't want to be that atmosphere no more. I'll just stay right here because it's so keen. It gotta make you, he'll put you in a keen atmosphere. So you'll be there, you know, make you keen. So when you go into the atmosphere, you're not a That's why when people say, oh, a demon over here, a witch over here, you don't want to go there. That's a demon. Oh, you want to go in there. Man, look, if God makes you king, please, you go in an area, that power of God on your life so strong that those demons refuse to allow anybody to act up because they don't want to deal with you. I'm telling you. Let me take you over to Daniel chapter 2 and show you the power of God. Chapter number one, Daniel, he's 10 times brighter after he didn't eat from the king's meat portion. Why? Because he refused to eat from the Babylonian system. So what did the word of God say in that particular verse? That's Daniel chapter 2. Here's what he said. He said, now listen to this. I'm going to go all the way down. Let's chapter 1. Let me do with chapter 1. All the way down to verse 16. Thus Master took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pause. As for these children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all the learned and in wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So Daniel, from his body, he carried the power to understand vision and dream. Chapter number 2. Daniel interprets the king's dream. Now watch this, saints of God. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, dreamed a dream. Wherewith the spirit was troubled and his sleep was broken from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians. You see that, people? The astrologer, the sorcerer, the Chaldean, to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Now listen to this. Then spake the Chaldean to the king of Sarai, O king, live forever. Tell the servant the dream, and we shall show the interpretation. Now listen to this, people of God. The king answered and said to the Chaldean, the thing is gone from me. What did the king say? The thing is gone from me. What am I trying to say to many of you? We are in a time right now that the earth realm, the witches, the false prophets, the Chaldeans, the wizards, the magicians, they can't do what I can do. Why? Because God shuts it up from them. He shuts it up. They will not be able to interpret. They can't tell you about Queen Elizabeth. They can't tell you about the Jesuit order. They can't tell you about the codes in the system. And even some of the foolish church people who's trying to battle me, God ain't giving it to them. Why? Because he's shutting things down on people. And guess what? When you show up, it opens up to you. Now watch this. Let me move, take this down to you. He said, the thing is going for me. It will not make known unto me. Look, for if ye will not make known to me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, your houses shall be made a dunghill, and if ye show me the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive what? Gift. Ye shall receive reward, great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. What did he say to them? I will give you what you need. If you show me the interpretation of this dream, you reveal to me this mysterious event. Tell me what's going on. Reveal to me why you know this knowledge. It's not coming from any other spiritual realm. We made a covenant, Nimrod. We bow to the worshiper master. We flow. We know the fallen Nephilim. But it cannot be open. So something about you, you're revealing to us, because all of our power is not. We don't have it. Now watch this. I'm trying to bless somebody today. Here's what he said. And he said, then answered again and said, let the king tell his servant the dream, and we will show the interpretation thereof. The king answered and said, I know of clarity, certainly, that ye would gain the time. What do you say? Gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. What did the king say? This thing is gone from me. You all, you fakers, you magicians, you wizards, y'all should know. Y'all should tap in. You should tell me. That's why I tell people, be very careful of who you let prophesy into your life, because a lot of these people can't tap in. They can't tell you. They can't speak. You're running for a fault. That's why you got people that are running around here in the world. They don't have that anointing. They run around with false prophecy. They run around with God, things that God actually told them. They believe in a demonic spirit. Now, it's opposite of what God told them. They actually believe stuff. And the enemy that warped their mind. Let me tell you something. You got some people that are mentally warped in their mind. They believe everything that they've learned. They don't believe it no more. Why? Because demons warp their mind. You got a lot of warped people in the world that warp. Their mind is warped. Let me finish. Are y'all with me? Stay with me. Don't go nowhere. I'm getting to open up another code today as I did Monday night on the Zoom platform. And that was a private one. That was a private one with all of these powerful people. It was a private Zoom. They told Administrator Brian, we can't invite nobody in. Nobody was invited in. And they gave me the entire time to teach. Believe me. Ooh, and I'm eating breakfast real good today, tomorrow, next week, and the week after next. That's just for free. I'm just showing you to be blessed. The king answered and said, of certain that ye would gain the time. What did he say? The time. The time. Because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree. Listen to this. This is what the king said. For ye have prepared lying, corrupt words before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Here's what the child then said. The child then answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such thing as any magician, astrologer, child then. It is a rare, listen to this, it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king except what? The God who dwelleth in dwelling is not with flesh. You see what I'm saying? So God shut up that realm in the spirit. And you got all these people trying to come up with all these ideologies. Oh, God said this. The Lord said that. And you sit back and look and say, man, isn't it sad? Look at all of the people made the wrong prediction about Trump. Well-known prophets around the world. Look at all of these people all around the world missing these predictions. Look at the people always determined. Look at what they look. Let me tell you something. Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates, the Rockefeller, the Rothschild family, they were all determined. They all determined so many million people in the population control was supposed to be gone by this year, 2020. It was population. They had determined. Their statistics was so off bad. Now, and guess what? So here now, over in Ukraine, they send a million plus people over here to the United States. Y'all don't know nothing about it. Go Google that too. You can do the research on it. So they're all over here. Guess what? We're gonna bring our Zionist people over here. We're gonna go into your neighborhood and depopulate it. So let's finish causing issues. Look at Chicago. Chicago black population in decrease. Now they got a Spanish population. Yeah. Look at all of these major cities where black mayors are in. Some of them are funny on the down low, some of them messed up. Look at what they're doing to the city. So and the ones that are prospering, what we do, we pollute it and pervert them. We pervert you. We pervert your little city. So we pollute you, destroy you, or pervert you. You have a choice. Learn to stand up and rise to the occasion like a Malcolm X. Martin Luther King, you know, we'll put him in there somewhere. When he found out the truth, he came. But really to stand up for the movement and push the movement, the push to dominate. Look what they did to Henry Newton in 1968. Mayor Daley, the father, did. Then his son came back in Chicago in 20. Look, who would steal $152 million from the city of Chicago coffer, Mayor Daley's son, and not be in jail, and he don't have record of it? You know why? Because he was told by the government, get down, Daley's son. You're a powerful position. We gonna, only thing we're going to tell you to do is go into the sunset and enjoy that money. But guess what? Kwanzaa, whatever his name, Kilpatrick over in the city of Detroit, $1.2 billion was gone. He gets a federal case. Wow. Right now, in Michael Madigan, a state representative who's been doing all that stuff for years, finally got caught. Ed Burke in Chicago finally got caught. Whatever his name, Blagojevich, who didn't do nothing. They just got him up because he was an arrogant and got him, and he got out. See, you follow what I'm saying? You have to understand the systems of the world and how things are done. Now, guess what? If these enemies are turning on each other, they're turning on each other. I'm telling you, they bring you into fight. They're turning on each other. Father Luan Matthews, man of God. Wow. January 5th, after January 5th, that's going to happen. All on Facebook, wasn't hide. It was a public information. January 6th, 2021, we are in the middle of the United States Congress, House of Representatives, on the floor, Congress people, representative, running for their life. How did you even know? Because God opened it up to me to reveal it to the people in 2020, what was going to happen in January 2021. So if you can do that, then I know you can reveal other things to us. And what did the king say? And I will give you gifts. I will give you honor. I will give you wealth. I'll give you whatever you need. Number one, your passion has to create something in the world that no one else can do. Let me read on down and finish up. Let me finish it. This is what he said. This is what he said. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon, everybody. And the decree went forth that the wise men should slain, and they should, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was going forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said, Arioch, king of the captain, why is this decree so hastily for the king? Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired what? An audience with the king, that he should give him time and that he would show him the interpretation. Then Daniel went in his house and made the thing known to what? His friend, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and his companion, that they should desire mercy to God of what? Heaven, concerning what? The secret. What did I just say? The secret. God revealed to me the secret. I don't want money. Reveal to me the secret. He said, if you remain sacred to chapter number one, I'll reveal to you the secrets in chapter number two. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon, the Nimrod system. Then was the secret revealed unto who? Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the God forever. For the wisdom and might are his. And he do what? Change what? Time. Change what? Season. And he removeth king. And he set it up king. You're getting ready to see the removal of king and a setting up of king. You're getting ready to see it happen. And he giveth wisdom unto what? Wise and knowledge to them that what? Knoweth understanding. He revealeth the deep secret thing. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth within him. Who? In him. So in the middle of darkness it dwelleth. So stop mistaking the presence of darkness as an absence of God. God allows darkness to exist so the light can manifest through you. He's using you mightily. I thank and praise thee, O God, of my fathers, who has given me wisdom, might, and has made known unto me now what we desire thee. And for thou hast now made known unto us the king matter. God is making known to us the secrets of all of the leaders around the world matter in issue. They will consult you. They will search you down. They'll put you on first-class flight. They'll let you fly their Learjet and dine you to reveal to them the secrets of the world, hands down. You ain't got to be fooling about a $20 seed offer. Give $100. Give a miracle seed. You will never have to worry, because when you have a passion, you can guarantee people search out passionate people. Let me read on down. Therefore, Daniel went unto Arioch the king, and he ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show unto him the interpretation. Now listen to this, people of God. This area brought in Daniel before the king in haste. What is it? Suddenly. You're getting ready to see things accelerate. Suddenly, man, I'm telling you, people of God, before I can get off a plane, but Matthew, can you do this before you move? It's happened suddenly. It's accelerating before your very eyes. Things are accelerating before the imagination. So as an acceleration, things are happening. Let me read it down. It didn't change. Where's my favorite? Okay, let's move down. And Aaron brought him before the king and said unto him, thus unto him, I have found a man of what? Captivity of Judah. I have found a Jewish full-blooded man who's in captivity that you didn't kill with coronavirus. You didn't kill in the hot spot. You didn't lock up in jail, but we in bondage. But can reveal to you the secret of everything. Now watch this. Now listen to this. Look, listen to this, people of God. This will bless you. Now, I have found a man of the captivity of Judah, praise, that will make known unto you the king's what? Interpretation. Interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise man, the astrologer, the magician, the soothsayer show unto the king. Here's what he said, verse 9. But there is a God in heaven. Now, here's the Babylonian king. Here's the ancient king that serves all of these deities. He said, the God in heaven that can reveal secrets and make it known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, the dream and the vision of the head. Now watch this. The dream and the vision of thy head and upon thy bed are these. Now look at what happens. Immediately, Daniel walks in there and opens the code. He breaks the ball. He revealed the combination. Here, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. Here's what he do. Now look at what he do. He goes into King Nebuchadnezzar and opens him up, your thoughts in your head upon your bed. What shall come to pass thereafter? And he that revealeth secrets, make it known these things what shall come. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me by any wisdom. And you remember Daniel and Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, not the wisdom of men and their perfectness. He said, but the mystery of the kingdom before the world was formed. That's what Paul said. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 6. Go ahead and read it there. Now here's what it says. He said, but as for me, the secret is not revealed to me of any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sake that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of my heart. Now listen to this. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image, the great image whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible, and the image was a head was of a fine gold, and his breast and his arm of silver, his belly the hide. Now, everybody has to understand the revealing. What did Daniel do? He revealed the statue. He revealed the thing. He revealed everything. His legs iron, his feet parts of brass, partly clay. And thou sawest till that stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet, and there were of iron, clay, break them in pieces. Then with the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken in pieces together and became like the shaft of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone smote the image there, because the mountain and filled the whole earth. This king, now listen to this, verse 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art king of kings, for the God of heaven has given thee the kingdom, power, and strength, and glory, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts, the field, the fowls, the heavens, has he given unto thine hand. and has made thee ruler over all these, and thou art head of gold. After these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear the rule over all the kingdom. And fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, insomuch breaketh the pieces, and subdue all things, and as iron breaketh all things, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet, the toes, parts of the pottery, clay, parts of the iron, the kingdom shall be divided, and there shall be what? It of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with myrrh clay, as for the toe of the feet were parts of the iron and parts of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with marley clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. What they do, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. They shall not cleave one another, even as the iron is mixed with clay. Now, let me move on down, because I'm breaking down some stuff so you can understand what's going on in the world events and understand it. Let me read 44. And the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. What? A kingdom that will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdom, and it shall stand forever. Therefore, as much as thou sawest that the stone should be cut out, the mountain without hand, that it break in pieces of iron, brass, clay, silver, gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, the dream and certain and interpretation thereof. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped who? Daniel. And commanded that they should do what? Offer oblation, sweet odor unto him. Your gift, your passion will open up doors unimaginable. The king unto Daniel and said, oh, truth, of truth is it that your God is a God of God and Lord of kings and revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Seeing thou couldst reveal the secret. You have to understand is revealing the secrets of all of the things that are going on in the earth realm. There's nothing hid from God. So everything is being revealed now. But you can't be a busybody. You can't be distracted by all of this foolish genre, all of this media hype. We got to change the religious narrative in the earth realm now. And if you're not going to do it, believe me, God has people who will do it. He got people, oh, I'm mad, so I ain't going to use my gift. Do you think God cares you're not going to use your gift? You're just another one of those in that scripture that he did what? He gave you a talent. And you just gonna die with the talent. If you gonna think you gonna take your, well, I'm in high man. Okay. Phone out there with the rest of them. Because you got so many people that have allowed religious people in the religious world to hide your talent. And guess what? What did he say about those who took their talent and buried it? Those who took those talent and misused it. I will not take any of my talent and not use it for the kingdom of God. Hands down. I'm going to reveal the secret, interpret dreams, reveal the mystery to the world, all of what's going on from this month to next month to the month after next to the month I jump on the plane and hit to another part of the world and reveal it to them. You people, you can't put limits on yourself. Some of you, God is going to take you off of these jobs. And you're going to be full-time ministry, working for the kingdom of God, preparing to do things far greater than your mind ever imagined. You ain't going to work for money. You're going to be following the passion And those doors going to be open for you to have what you want. They're going to send you back with a check. They're going to say, what's your bank account number? Give me your account number. Boom. You ain't going to go have to do no cash app. They charge you a fee. Give me your Zelle. Boom. Because that's where we are at. These rulers and leaders around the world, they're looking for what's in you. You wasted your time trying to house a few Humpty Dumpty set on the wall people who are dealing with this foolishness. Praise God. Do the will of the world. Do what God told you to. And handle your business. Your ministry is far greater than where you are. It's far greater than what you imagine. You're called to a greater place. And Daniel did what? The king, Nebuchadnezzar, saved Daniel and all the Chaldeans. You're going to be saving the wizards, the witches, the warlock, and all of them. Paul did. When the damsel, he came into the city, and the damsel who was used by her masters, he cast a demon out of the woman. The power in that region was gone. Why? Because he came in and he overruled. See, you people talking about, a little demon in a person. No. When you come into cities, demons going to leave the region. They have to behave. See, that's the power that we're going into. You're talking about, cast the person out. Now, let me tell you something. You think I'm going to sit in the service and sit on somebody, come out. You want that demon, don't you? Yeah, okay. Then go sit out in the front row. I ain't fooling with that. You ain't got to spit up blood. You ain't got to get no paper towels. Do you want to be delivered? Yes. You want to be set free? Yes. That's the anointing. You ain't going to be sitting around, you struggling, messing up all of your stuff, and then they get up and say, well, yeah, you're free. You ain't free. Folks knocking you down. Come on. You ain't got to knock a person down. I ministered to the lady from a distance, and boom, you ain't got to be behind her. Because the Spirit of God going to take care of these people. All of this religious stuff that I ain't going to say we, because I knew this stuff was not real long time ago. It's just that I'm coming to the revelation. Man, God, you doing some stuff that's out of this world. You going to walk in buildings, get off planes, come in places. Demons going to behave. People who sit next to you on the seat, they'll give their seat up because those demons do not want. They will. Sir, you want the window? Yes, okay, I don't want to. Yes, I'm just feeling so uncomfortable by the window. Would you like to serve? Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I ain't got to sit there and be like, I need that window seat. Man, let me tell you something. Tap into that spirit. They'll give that seat up. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, it's okay. Yes, it's okay. Let me tell you something about the power of God. See, all of this stuff that they're telling us about, what the Lord do, they put limitations on you. You've been limited by incarcerated sound. Look at, there's no more mega ministry. It's all a mega sound. Mega ministries are over. Mega sounds are dominating the earth now. Everything has changed. Only people have not changed is the one who said they have the power, and they never had the power. They were only performing. But now the performance has ended. All of these churches around the world who have been performing, you will see that in their farewell season. It's only those who have the power of God will be able to dominate in this dimension in the spirit realm. And when God has some of us now, you're not at a level. You're not at a realm. You are in a dimension in the spirit realm. And so when you feel inadequate, just remember, you're not on the earth anymore. God hides you up in a prophetic realm, and he lets your body walk on the earth. And when he gets ready to use you, he packs you into that prophetic realm, pull you back in your body, back into him, and he uses you as a vessel. When he's done, he takes you back from eternity into a world called insanity and still use you. so you can go to your job, pick out your garbage, empty the garbage can, deal with crazy stuff, deal with baby mama drama, daddy drama, deal with policemen foolishness. And then when he uses it, he puts you right back inside of you, and he uses the anointed on your life, and he uses you for the glory of God. Why? Because there's very few people that will have passion. All of these people that ministry on all of these arenas and platforms who think they're doing something, they're not doing anything. All they're doing is performing. And the word of the Lord God said this word, quote, he said, people will have itching ears. They'd rather have a lie than the truth. When truth shows up, lies will be changed. People will be healed, delivered, and set free. This is a money-making system that they're using right now in the world. It was then, it is now. It has not changed the dynamics. The pandemic was LaRon Matthews' opportunity. Everything that happened, I was blessed more than I ever been in my entire life of ministry, because I knew that God has embedded me with the gift, the ministry, and the anointing to do what I do. If I was doing this 20 years ago, it would have been too soon. If I do it 20 years down the road, it's only going to enhance it, but it'll be too late. You have to do what God told you to do now. You are in a prophetic realm, a window of men and women of God that the Lord is using. And the Lord would allow a counterfeit to have his opportunity until the encounter shows up. The wizards, the witches, the warlocks, all of those people, they can't do anything now. Do you see any of them performing greatness? No. Only people you see moving is the counterfeit people who are using the religious world and the religious genre, and they're not doing anything. They just use it. They're telling you, oh, you got green socks on or blue socks on. Oh, I know that. Oh, they know. They're telling you your birthday. Oh, you know my birthday. Yeah, because they know your birth certificate. And all of these people over on Clubhouse, that these prophets are telling you all about your life, all you have to do is tell them their name, go click off your page, go over to their page, and they already got their profile right there. And they sitting there telling them their whole profile, and they sitting there falling for the okey-doke. Come on now. Anything the guys were doing over here on Facebook, you already told them your story. You already let them know. But if you're going to tap into the deep things of God, God want to take you past your birth certificate, past your birthday, past what you told about your career. He want to take you into a dimension of the anatomy of human body to let you know the codes that have been locked in at your birth certificate. When you took a shot when you were born and they put the shot in a certain black woman, a certain black child, so when they grow up at age 1, 2, and 3, you have already been given the shot by these ancient spirits and these ancient people who are blood sacrifice doctors and lawyers, blood sacrifice people, and they watch your children as they grow. If you're a male, they already target your child all the way up to a certain age. They give them a shot that makes them feminine all these years. All of those things are done, and they can't refute nothing I'm saying, because I've been in the spirit with God, and he revealed things to me, and I could tell people, and when they look at it, they can't refute it, because it's already in the database. It's already locked in a secret society and intelligence of government agents in the world of what they want to do. And 2022 is an official lock year that the Catholic Church, the Jesuit Order, the Scottish Rite, the Numinati, whatever you want to call, and that top 9 ranking family of the world, who gave all of you black people these university fraternities, and y'all following this foolishness, excuse me, I know y'all mad at me, following all of these fraternities that they gave you all as the top-ranking white families of the world gave them to you. Amen. University, and you're following. You can go Google that too if you don't believe what I'm telling you. You're following, and you made a covenant with their deity and their ancient Roman goddess. And it's because I never bowed to these systems. I never went along with those secret preachers in Chicago, because I don't agree with them. I will call one of their name out too. I didn't fall for the okey-doke. So God created me for this time in my life. and he's established me for this time. And it's very few of us in the earth realm that can be used mightily for such a time as this. And all the rest of the counterfeits are running wild in the world, and they don't have the power to do what we do. So you have to have a passion to do it. So don't worry about people disliking you and oh, you're trying to do this. No, you're not arrogant. You're confident because you went through the suffering. You went through the fasting. You had blood put in your food. People try to assassinate your character. They put drugs in your house. They did all kinds of things. They set you up as a target. They send people into your churches to set you up. They send folks in to destroy your image, your character, and they cannot break your will. If you want to go deeper, they set things in place. So you would not, you would be miseducated. They gave you shock as a little kid. They made you ADHD and you couldn't read and spell at certain ages. They target you. You pass all of the targets. You're the graduating class of 2020. And if you don't graduate this year, believe me, man. Believe me, woman of God. You won't get it in 2023. You're not going to get it in 2024. You better get it right now. All of this stuff that they're doing right now, if you don't get it now, you will not get it in 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27 because you will be part of that target of that mummy system that they create another medication for, all of the mindset. They got statistics in Johns Hopkins Hospital, the university. They already got statistics of who, the where's, and the whereabouts. You knew. People knew. Look at it. Look, they letting you know. Look at that brilliant, talented lieutenant governor of New York City, a rising young man. Boom. He's over. Look at what they try to do to Clarence Thomas. They try to poison him. He's a Supreme Court judge. They try to poison him. Another black man, hands down. You see what they're doing? And so, you know, I tell you what's going on in the world. You better take me at my word. I don't pay you, take me for granted. You don't pay me. You're not on my payroll.
Amen.
I'm on God's payroll. I'm covered by his insurance policy. Hands down.
Amen.
So all of this other stuff that people are doing, somebody worry about who's in my office. Go sit down in the timeout corner. I can have 1,000 people in my office. You just can't get in there. That's for free. Don't worry about all that foolishness, all of that isms and isms. Who did he hug? Do you want to hug? Maybe you may get stressed for you. I may get you stressed. You know what I'm saying? You don't let this stuff get to you. Do what God told you to do, hands down. You try to prove to somebody you got this. Man, you don't have enough time. You know what? An old wise man said something to me, mother. He said, if you're trying to prove to another flawed man that you're great, you done flunked the class. You better prove to a great God that you're great and you'll pass everything. Let me write that down. You want to write that down? And you know who that came from? What, my wisdom quote. If you try to prove to another flawed man or flawed woman you great, you have flunked the class. If you prove to the great God that who's great, he will continue to let you be great in it. I'm done. Come on in, mother.
Amen. Awesome, prophet. Awesome. So much. Amen. Information that God is downloading in you at this moment and at this time for the people. Well, to God, because in all that you were saying, I'm hearing preparation, and more, be prepared for what's to come. Because when God gives his people, amen, this type of information, amen, it's for a reason, because it's at this appointed time. Word to God, and when you first started off, you was like tossing, like, should I say or should not say? Should I say, is it the right time? It's the right time. Glory to God. Then you spoke it. It's the right time. Amen. Glory to God, because you're telling God is telling the people of God to wake up out of their sleep. Wake up out of your stupor. Wake up out of your slumber and see what's going on before your eyes. Amen. All that you have been saying, make me think of this picture of this church. Everybody's going to the church. Everybody's going to the church. But as they're going to the church and you see the bottom of the church and at the back of the church, you see everybody that's going in, they all falling, going down. So many people coming in through that church, glory to God. It has no foundation